Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the Mobile 5280 Studios, Weekend Geek Update, Spotlight Edition from the floor of Comic Fest, Starfest. I have Michael Bliss, longtime listener, longer time friend, who we've actually done independent film circles. We know all the same people, but we have yet to work on a project together.
No, we haven't.
And that hurts my feel bad.
I know, me too.
Am I ugly? Does my mom address me funny? Michael, thank you for taking time out, because I know you're busy.
Oh, thank you.
What's going on in the indie film world today?
Well, we have a lot going on. Actually, yesterday, we just it was a revival of the Indie Spirit Film Festival in Colorado Springs with Ralph Giordano and Jim Turner, and that was awesome. It was at the Ivy Wild school up there, and
oh, wow.
It was absolutely amazing, because not only were we here, we were also in Colorado Springs promoting everything that's going on around town.
How do you go to two places at the same time? I've been trying to perfect that for ages, and I just
cloning. No, it's called the crew.
Yep.
We're a part of a historic Elitch Theater, which is 126 years old. I'm on the board, and so we had our board members here. And if you all remember the old Elitches,
so it is the town. It's because I know they bulldozed Elitches. It's
yep.
like a basic.
It's like a Belmar
complex.
Now.
Yeah.
It's kind of, if you know what Belmar is
right.
off of Alameda and Wadsworth, they've kind of made it a community right there where Elitches used to be, kind of like that kind of community.
Right.
And so they left the theater. They were going to bulldoze that, and the board at that time saved it, and now we're in phase three of remodeling it, and also we're going to show films there, have live music, and we're
oh, wow.
going to utilize that whole area.
Because that's just down the street from, which theater is it? That's just down
the Oriental.
Oriental.
Yeah,
it's just
so
down
we've
the street
done
from the
films
Oriental.
There. I'm sure you've probably been there.
I've been there. And then there's the Bug.
The Bug Theater.
Which
yeah.
is an incredible venue.
The Bug, we love The Bug. That
yes,
is like
do.
A filmmaker paradise, because they are so supportive for
independent
art.
Film.
Yeah, well, independent
I mean, every
film.
Thursday they do, or not, one Thursday of the month,
yep.
they do the Independent Filmmakers
I believe it's
night.
The third Thursday EFP.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and that's the Emerging Filmmakers Project. And if you are a filmmaker, look that up and submit your film, because you can meet and network with a lot of filmmakers at that event. And Bradley Haig also does the open screen night.
He does.
Every 3 months. So I don't know the exact date, but you could also look that up on Facebook. It's coming up.
It is coming up. And that is a good time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is a sellout crowd.
I mean,
and not only between the filmmakers and the people in the film, but actually like fans that are film enthusiasts. It's a great way to
And that's
to
at the Bug,
it
too.
It's
now,
at the Bug. Yep.
It's kind of done a transition from the Oriental to the Alamo Draft House to the C Center, and now at the Bug, where I think it might have a permanent home now.
As Red comes by with a piece of pizza
hanging from her mouth,
an emaciated piece of cheese is hanging from their lips at the moment.
She it says, I am an adult with cheese hanging from her face. She's got a button on. I don't know if she's really an adult.
Wow. Well, okay. And that's on the other side of the mic. So, Michael, what I find the most inspiring about you, minus your filmmaking stuff, is BlissFest.
Yeah.
And I don't think it can be enough said about it, but not everyone knows about BlissFest.
Yeah, so BlissFest is a multimedia cultural arts film festival So we tie in all the arts and just have a whole month in August of bliss. So we do many different events. We are creating unity with our community, bringing love, peace, harmony, and bliss to a festival about creativity and individuality. So if you are an artist, filmmaker, musician, performer, poet, I mean, all the arts, anything you could think of. We've had, many different types of artists. We've had people that breathe fire. We've had people that step on glass. And that was at the Oriental.
That was.
When we did that.
Oh,
we were...
Had that's
some
a low
guy,
ceiling in there. Yeah, light that place up.
We were lighting it up, that's for sure. And yeah, we've had, anything you could think of. We're about the arts. We're about, creating unity in our community. And with what's going on in the world, we want that unity, us getting together and for me, art is very healing and it's scary times right now.
Extremely scary times.
So, let's get away from that and have some fun.
Well, I've even retreated for the last few months. I've kind of come back into it, but I retreated from Facebook. I'm just I like my friends. I want to keep them my friends. So I'm just leaving Facebook for a while. Until
yeah.
All this anxiety passes.
Exactly.
Now, as a filmmaker, what genre do you typically lean towards? I mean, what's your personal favorites?
Well, it's really hard to say because I work with a lot of genres. But one of my favorites that I always go to are zombies. With the Zombie Fest, one of my feature films, I just finished up Praise the Dead, which we shot in Colorado Springs. We did the Colorado Springs zombie crawl, and I made some characters, and one was a priest fighting off zombies that ends up getting attacked by the zombies and turns into the zombie priest leader. So that will be premiering at Bliss Fest this year, and it looks like with the Independent Film Society, we will be doing another Colorado Springs zombie crawl. And and Colorado Springs also, we tie in Colorado Springs with Denver, and there's the Peak Film Forum where you could network. And if you are interested in showing some films at that, just type in Peak Film Forum and you can find out more information about that.
So now, in your zombie preference, which zombie do you kind of lean towards? Are we talking like the old school Dawn of the Dead?
I like old school zombies. Okay. The original Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead.
There we go.
I mean, Night of the Living Dead is kind of what did it for me. Actually, it was Night of the Living Dead. I saw Dawn of the Dead first when I was a kid. And
midnight screening?
No, it was at a friend's house.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is his house was really scary and creepy. And his family, they were hoarders.
And at the time, you're probably like, you had no idea what that was. Your parents got a lot of shit.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely didn't because I was pretty young. And so the house was already creepy and just full of stuff. And, there were noises. And he put on Dawn of the Dead. And
whoa.
That's what really got me because it scared the hell out of me.
Because when I first saw Dawn of the Dead, I mean, it was in the theaters, but they used to do like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like Friday night, midnight showing. And it was Dawn of the Dead. And my cousin, who is, considerably older than me at the time, like 5 years, and I'm like, okay, whatever. He's like, I need to take you to this. And I'm like, okay, we skip along. And at the end of that was just eye-opening. It was like watching The Day After when it was on TV. You're like, oh, holy shit. And that just opened the gateway to everything zombie.
Yeah, and, what I liked about Dawn of the Dead, being, so young at the time, the way George Romero, his style was more documentary style. So, the beginning was shot.
Documentary before documentary took off.
Yeah, before that whole, documentary style took off. So he, that was his style. So the way that he shot that in the newsroom and the zombie apocalypse is happening while they're broadcasting live.
And it was very War of the Worlds.
Very, yeah, it was.
I mean, the way the whole, and it just kind of sucked you in, is this happening? It's like, oh my God, this could be happening right now. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
No.
And so it had that feel, and I think that's where it really freaked me out. And, just the whole idea of that, and then, the idea of the dead coming back to life And so from there, you know, I came up with an idea many years ago. It's, gosh, 2009, actually. We did Zombie Fest, and so we threw a huge zombie party, and where everyone dressed up as zombies, and we showed Night of the Living Dead on the screen, and then the zombies attacked the crowd, and from there we had these characters running off and did a story behind that, and then that was a feature film that has done very well. So we're working on Zombie Fest Part 2, Sloppy Seconds.
Nice. Because we got, as Colorado Ghostbusters, we got invited to Universal, so they do the Purge style, which I would love to see this in a zombie thing, because at, you know, the stroke of midnight, they stage it like the Purge movie.
Oh, okay.
So all of a sudden, you know, as everyone's trying to get into the theme park,
yeah,
the Purge happens.
Oh.
And they just bum rush everything.
Yeah.
And there's 120 chainsaws that they single rip start.
Oh.
I mean, just all of them without fail. I want to see that with a zombie, like all of a sudden, just a bum rush of zombies just come running at you. That would be... I want to be part of that scene.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing. We want it kind of like a grindhouse film. And for this, so we're going to have part one showing on the screen at a drive-in this time.
Oh, nice.
So we're twisting it up just a little bit. And then from there, the survivors end up in a camp. And so we're going to have the zombies attack while they're at the drive-in because we think we're safe again.
Right.
Because, and it's like ironic with what's
28
going,
months later.
Yeah, yeah. It's ironic kind of with what Trump is doing with building a wall. Well, we've built a wall around the city thinking we're safe.
Safe.
So it kind of has that George Romero feel to it. You know how he always kind
of
ties it in.
City of the Dead.
Yeah, politically.
Right.
And, but the zombies...
Wow, so many political undertones.
So I don't want to give too much away.
No, no, no.
That's a little much, but
it's a good hook, Mike.
But yeah,
hook.
So then they will come and yeah, we could, and I kind of like that War of the Worlds idea where it's like, you know, we want to start off at I'm a member of Denver Open Media, and I, you know what Denver Open Media is. It's public television. And so we want to do kind of that Dawn of the Dead kind of feel.
This just in.
Yeah.
Colorado Springs has been wiped off the map. Holy shit. I'm sorry, I can't say that on the air. Make peace with God. Oh, yeah.
So that's, you know, what we're working on. We do the zombie crawls, and we're working on a Halloween zombie party in Colorado Springs and doing the Colorado Springs zombie crawl and working with Ralph Giordano with that.
So what do you think about then The Walking Dead? Fan, not a fan?
I am definitely a fan. It's just kind of like a zombie soap opera in a sense. You know, you really get into the characters and then one dies and, you know, comes back as a zombie, and it kind of has that feeling. So a lot of us get sucked into those characters.
And it's kind of like a double jerk because you get to deal with them dying the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Now they got to kill them again. Damn it.
But, I mean, I love it. I do. Some seasons I like better than others, but, you know, it keeps me going The Walking Dead. I enjoy it.
So who's your favorite character on The Walking Dead? Who do you gravitate most towards?
Rick.
Rick?
Yep. I do like his character, how he's gone insane and then kind of comes back and you know, kind of brings it back together. So
yeah, Red's got theories because she does our Walking Dead reviews. And she's all like, you go insane twice. That's the formula so far.
Yeah.
You go nuts twice. Carol was due. So was Daryl. So they're fine now.
Yep.
Rick's already gone twice, so we may see it again. We don't know.
You never know. That's why I like his character so much.
Now, if you could do a like no budget, full whatever you wanted, what would you do for a zombie film?
What would I do?
Or what would you change? What would you do different with The Walking Dead? I'll narrow it down for you, because that is a rather robust question.
Well, for me, this is something I would like to do, is take it to the other side and make the main characters the zombies.
Kind of
switch it up where you're following the story of these main character of the zombie side of their adventures.
Wow. Zombies don't talk. I guess that saves on dialogue.
Yeah.
I forgot my line. Try again.
But you'd have the interaction, you know, with people. Like, they'd be screaming.
bad lip reading all of a sudden. Zombies talking. And they kind of hinted at that. I think it was at City of the Dead where the one gas station attendant at the end.
Land of the Dead.
Land of the Dead.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, well, you know, you still would have your main human characters. But I think, you know, like with my film Zombie Fest, you know, there was a clown that was one of the main zombie characters.
Yes.
And so with that, you kind of followed the clown around. And
that would be awesome.
But, you know, where do they go? You know, see where they travel and that.
And that's what always bugs me about Walking Dead. Like all of a sudden, like you don't hear them at all. They're just there.
Yeah, the hordes. Yeah, all of a sudden, they come in hordes.
Like, son of a bitch. So, what was your first horror film? What got you hooked?
Well, the first one I did was back in high school. It was called The Underground, and we shot it in 1986, and that was kind of my first zombie film without even knowing it,
right?
Because it was based in the future, and the sun scorched and burned the earth, and so you had to live underground, and there was a virus going on, and no one knew how people were catching the virus, and there was cannibalism going on because people were out of food.
Oh, wow.
And so the virus was in the flesh, and so, you know, these people are trying to figure out how this virus is happening, and it was actually through the water. By drinking the water is how you catch the virus.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't know at that time I was actually making my first zombie film. And so it was based in 2012. And so when 2012 came, I was like, wow, I'm still alive.
I haven't been
It's
munched.
Weird, you know, writing these a story back then and then, you know, now the present and now it's 2016. You know, it's kind of weird seeing your work and, you know, where you're at now.
And, yeah, reflecting back is like when you see, like, Back to the Future. Hey, buddy, you want to thumb me 100? You know, that was last year that was supposed to be happening.
Yeah, exactly. They talked about that.
So, now, with your background, were you ever, like, into the horror comics or, like, any of the EC stuff? Or were you even a comic book guy?
Well, definitely growing up, I read, you know, a lot of comics and... You know, I don't really have, like, a favorite one. I do like the whole idea of, like, the creep show.
Right.
And that was, like, I read a lot of this kind of scary stories, and, you know, with comics. And I enjoyed that. But I, you know, the whole thing, I've always gravitated more towards video productions and do it. But with that, you know, you do the storyboard. And so it's very similar to comic.
Right.
The way you storyboard.
Exactly. I mean, because even one of the guys that we had on earlier this week was, he basically says storyboard when he's building his comic. It's a movie in his mind.
Yeah, and so, like, reading The Walking Dead, because that was one I really got into, you know, I could definitely see the whole film process, because so many comics, it's so much easier to, like, kind of shoot it because you already have it laid out with dialogue. So...
No, and I mean it's a perfect tool.
Yeah,
it really is. Now, what do you have going on currently for projects, Michael?
So right now we have quite a bit going on. So being a part of Historic Elitch Theater, we've got a lot going on over there at the theater. June 16th, we're going to be showing The Force Awakens. June 17th, we've got Sing for the entire family.
Oh.
June 30th, La La Land, which I absolutely loved. July 14th is Princess Bride. July 28th, E.T. August 11th, Fantastic Beasts. And August 25th is Dirty Dancing. And then August 26th there, we are doing the E.T. Fest for Elitch Theater Fest. And it is a cultural revival. Is what we're doing with music, art, Kids Zone in the Carousel. We've got Hazel Miller, the Chris Daniels and the Kings, and a new upcoming band. A lot of people haven't heard of, but they're really upcoming. They're going to be playing at Red Rocks' Face. Have you heard of Face?
I have heard of Face.
Yeah, a lot of people I've been talking to have heard of Face. They're based out of Boulder and Longmont, mm-hmm. and they're becoming really big.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing Red Rocks is huge.
That's some band's dream of playing
Red
Rocks.
And they're a bunch of young kids. I think they're just out of high school.
They're relatively young, yes.
Yeah.
I
don't know exactly how old they are. So, and then Hazel Miller.
Hazel Miller was great because, what was it, late 90s, early 2000s? I mean, she was, like, on point, and, I mean, she's a brilliant artist, and her voice is
yeah,
amazing.
And so to kind of mix the two, because, you know, what Faith said is we've got legends here, the Denver legends,
yes.
Chris Daniels and the Kings. And so that is August 26th, and it's going to be, you know, in the lawn there at the carousel inside the theater. We're going to have music during the day, the kids zone, and vendors and food trucks and a beer garden. And so we're trying to bring that that revival of the arts back to Elitch Theater.
So how much of the Elitch Park is left? Because I know the roller coaster.
Yeah, everything. There's no rides left except for, you know, the new Elitches.
Right.
So we have the theater and the carousel.
And
so
that's all that's left of it?
And then some of the land in between there.
Well,
so
the garden I saw as leading into the apartment
complex. It's still
complex
there.
Is still there.
Still there.
I mean, because the park itself was, what, 100 years old when they finally 126
it? This year.
Wow.
126 years old. And so, you know, it's great to be a part of this, that I'm on the board now, and to be a part of the theater, to be a part of history. You know, Vincent Price was there.
Yes, he was.
The Catwoman, the original Catwoman was there.
Mm-hmm. Julie Newmar.
Yep. So many stars. You know, if you go to the Historic Elitch Theater website, there is so many stars that have been through there. And then also on August 19th, we are doing a steampunk versus cosplay at 1101 Gallery, and that's 1101 Mineral Avenue, which is only like 5 minutes away from the Comic Fest here.
Yes, it is. It's actually right just down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
So now this, the steampunk versus cosplay, so describe this to me. Are you going to have like a competition as far
yeah,
as
yeah, yeah, we're going to do like a competition, and so we want, you know, as many people that want to dress up as steampunk, as many people that want to dress up as cosplay, and we're just going to, you know, mix the two, and we're going to have bands, we're going to have, you know, a lot of different vendors there, we're going to have a fashion show, a DJ. Psyfedelic, the band is going to be there, and that's August 19th.
I want to be a judge for this.
We would love for you to be a judge.
I so want to help the
okay,
judge this.
then you are on. I want
awesome.
You to be a judge.
Because that sounds fun to me. I'm like, I want to see this. I want to see how this shakes down. Because there are some brilliant, I mean, both sides of it, so that'll be exciting.
I love the whole idea of steampunk, and then, you know, these costumes people put together for both, with cosplay and steampunk. Seeing a lot of that here, a lot of talent, you know, people are just, they go all out. And so to do this contest, you know, see how far they will go.
All right. And have you seen some decent cosplay over this weekend? Or
yeah, I was just over at Starfest, and I got a few pics. Some of the best ones I saw were steampunk, so that's why you know, we're doing the steampunk versus cosplay. You know, steampunk is pretty elaborate.
It is intricate, very intricate.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff on the horizon. So I'll let you get going. I know you're busy, Michael, but before you go, I have a question, and this is a question we've asked everyone through the weekend, and I think you're the perfect person to ask it and give us a perspective. Villains, very important, especially in horror and all of that. Of these three people, who do you think is the best villain or who has portrayed the best villain? Tim Curry, Alan Rickman, Christopher Walken.
Oh, that is a tough one. I would have to say I love Christopher Walken.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Just his voice.
Can you imagine just being his neighbor? I just have him come over. Your tree is hanging over my fence. I don't like it.
That's what gets me. Yeah, so that's, you know, even if he's in a bad movie, his voice just carries it through.
What's his? What's your favorite movie with Christopher Walken?
Well, my all-time, you know, Quentin Tarantino and Pulp Fiction. I love, you know, the style of that. I mean, I know he's not really a villain, but that's, you know, Quentin Tarantino is, and Robert Rodriguez are two of my favorite directors. And
it's hard to beat them. It really is. And I love when they get together and they're just, grindhouse stuff.
The grindhouse.
So
yeah. So, yep, that's one that I could think of.
All right. Michael, I'll let you get out of here. Thank you so much. Be sure to check out his links. We'll be having them on the page for the podcast in addition to the schedule for Ehlich's theater schedule, because that, The Princess Bride, oh, my God, I want to see that back in theaters again.
Yeah. Great date night.
That is great date night. That is fantastic. So keep tuned to us. We'll let you know what's going on for the cosplay versus steampunk and anything else, Michael?
Yeah, and then we're also at the Alamo Draft House for the film festival, which is the first weekend in August. And so if you are an independent filmmaker, you know, check out the website, blissfest333.org, and submit. You still have another month left to submit. And if you haven't been to the Alamo Draft House, it's one of the best theaters in Denver, food and drink.
I think it's a film house for film enthusiasts. I mean,
yes,
these are
exactly.
Film lovers is what this building
is. And as far as I know, if everything goes right, we will be at the new Sloan's Lake Alamo Draft House.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because that's opening up.
Soon.
And so that's the plan. But right now, you know, it's up in the air because it's just about ready to open.
Excellent. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And in the end, we're all stories. So make it a good one.